Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp, and today we'll continue learning Sefer Yirmiyahu. According to the Masorah, the opening of chapter 6 is organically and linguistically linked to the last two verses of chapter 5, in which the prophet warned of corruption and decadence in the land that will bring inevitable doom. Shama v'sha'aruyani ta'ba'aretz. Hanivim nibu b'sheker v'hakohanim yirdu al yedehem. V'ami ahavuchen. Umata asu la'achrita. An appalling and scandalous thing has happened in this land. The prophets give false prophecies, and the priests rule with an iron hand. Worse yet, my people like it that way. But what will you do when the end comes? Now, in the opening of chapter 6, Yirmiyahu calls out to his neighbors, the people of the tribe of Binyamin, for Anatot, his hometown, was in their territory, and warns them to flee the impending invasion of Yerushalayim. Ha'izu bnei Binyamin mikerev Yerushalayim, uvitkoa tik'u shofar, ועל בית הכרם שאו מסת, כי רעה נשקפה מצפון ושבר גדול. Run for your lives, you people of Binyamin. Get out of Jerusalem. Sound the alarm in Tekoa. Send up a signal at Beit HaKerem. A powerful army is coming from the north, coming with disaster and destruction. Yirmiyahu then issues a warning to Bat Zion, a collective term for the population in Yerushalayim, whom he regularly and affectionately describes as a young woman. Hanava v'hameunaga demiti batzion. The commentaries differ radically in interpreting the term damiti. Rashi follows the Aramaic Targum and connects this verse to the cry, "Get out of Jerusalem," and interprets it as, though she's beautiful and pampered, I will destroy her populace. Radak, among others, interprets the term damiti as I imagined, and translates the verse as, I compared Bat Zion to a lovely and serene woman, and links this phrase to the following verse, warning that the danger facing the population is not only from the Chaldeans marching from the north, but also from the marauding tribes infiltrating from the east. Eleha yavou ro'im ve'edrehem, tak'u alea ohalim saviv, ra'u ish et yado. Shepherds and their flocks will invade her, pitching their tents all around her, each one grabbing whatever comes to hand. Nechama Leibovich quotes Noga Haruveni, who pointed out that throughout the era of the Shoftim, and even in recent history, Bedouin herders and freeloaders from Transjordan took advantage of Israel's disunity and her preoccupation with the invading armies coming from the north to raid the heartland. They would loot the settlers' properties while giving free rein to their flocks and camels, who would consume the crops. Thus, the reference to shepherds and their flocks is not only a metaphor for the invasion of the Babylonian army and their allies, as most Mefarshim posit, but is a literal description of a simultaneous and opportunistic incursion by neighboring tribesmen. Thus, the 137th Mizmor in Tehillim, Al Naharot Bavel, attests, Zechor Hashem Livnei Edom et Yom Yerushalayim, Ha'omrim Aru Aru Ad HaYesod Ba. The psalmist curses the Edomites, descendants of Esav, who lived on the eastern banks of the Jordan River, for cheering the invading hordes from Babylonia, crying, destroy and raise it so that nothing is left and all is laid bare. Concurrently, the Babylonian soldiers themselves shouted out to one another as they prepared to lay siege to Jerusalem, such as described in verses 4 and 5 of our chapter. Katshu alei milchama, kumu v'na'ale b'tzohoraim. Oy lanu, kifana hayom, ki natutz lelei erev. Kumu v'na'ale b'layla v'nashchita amonoteha. Prepare for battle against her. Arise, let us attack at noon. But alas, the daylight is fading, and the shadows of evening grow long. Oh, arise, let us attack at night and destroy her palaces. Such they cry to one another. The extraordinary use of kachu as a battle cry indicates the zealotry of the invaders, who deem the destruction of Jerusalem as a holy war that cannot be postponed. Perhaps this terminology led Shadal, Shmuel David Luzzatto, to put these words in the mouth of the prophet Yirmiyahu, who calls on the invaders to serve as Hashem's instruments of vengeance against a rebellious nation. Thus, the chapter continues with a new paragraph in verses 6 and 7. For thus has Hashem Tzvakot said, cut down the trees and build siege ramps against Jerusalem. This city must be punished. It is filled with oppression. As a well pours out its water, so she pours out her wickedness. Violence and destruction resound in her. Her sickness and wounds are ever before me. Whether or not they were aware, the Babylonians were destined to serve as the cudgel with which Hashem would smite Israel. And therefore, Yirmiyahu refers to Hashem as Hashem Tzvakot, the hidden hand that guides the invading armies. And now, as a last warning, Hashem turns to his people, demanding that they accept the rebuke before the city is completely destroyed. Hivasri Yerushalayim, pen tekan nafshi mimech, pen asimech shmama eretz lo noshava. Accept this punishment, Jerusalem, lest I turn from you in disgust and make your land desolate that is uninhabitable. Hearing Hashem's scathing reproach, Yirmiyahu cannot fathom why he had sent him to preach and warn a nation that won't take the warning. Al mi yadabera ve'aida ve'yishme'u. Hine arela oznam ve'lo yuchlu lehakshiv. Hine dvar Hashem haya lahem lecherpa. Lo yachpetzuvo. To whom can I speak and testify? Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed, so they cannot hear. The word of Hashem is offensive to them. They find no pleasure in it. In his frustration, the prophet is appalled by the unfolding disaster, and at the same time, he is furious with the obstinance of his people. In verse 11, he admits, Ve'et chamat Hashem mileiti, nil'eiti achil. Shfoch al olal bachutz ve'al sod bachurim yachdav. Ki gam ish im isha yelachedu, zaken im mele yamim. I'm full of the wrath of Hashem. I can't hold it in. Pour it out on the babes in the street and on the gatherings of young men. Both husband and wife will be trapped, as well as the old weighed down with years. Yirmiyahu foresees how Jewish homes are confiscated, the fields and the women are taken as booty, and understands that it is all a direct consequence of social decadence and systemic deceit, as he bemoans in verses 13 and 14. Ki miktanam ve'ad gdolam kulo botzea betza, uminavi ve'ad kohen kulo ose shaker. Vayirapu et shever ami al nekala. Lemor, shalom, shalom. ve'en shalom. From the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. From prophet to priest alike, all practice deceit. They easily heal the wound of my people by saying, peace, peace. But there is no peace. Worst of all, they're shameless, and corruption and immorality abound openly. So Hashem declares in the 15th verse. Were they ashamed of their detestable conduct? No, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall with the fallen. When I hold them to account, they will stumble. When a person has self-respect and views himself as bound by time-tested values, he can feel shame when his behavior contradicts his self-image. But if a person sees himself as an animal, fighting other beasts in a world where might makes right, there can be no shame, except in getting caught in the act and being held accountable by forces more powerful than him. The lack of shame that Hashem decries proves that the people have lost their tzerem Elokim that distinguishes the human from the wolf. It seems that the society Yirmiyahu describes is not all that different from contemporary Western society, in which guilt is deemed a pathology instead of a symptom of wrongdoing. Malbim explains the phrase, Yiplu banoflim, they shall fall with the fallen, and says, if two are walking and one slips on an icy patch, you would assume that the other one would be careful to avoid the ice. Unfortunately, when people refuse to learn the lessons of history and blindly, shamelessly repeat the same mistakes made by their predecessors, they cannot expect different consequences. Those who witnessed the fall of previous generations will unfortunately stumble blindly and fall as well. Hashem repeatedly pleads with an amoral Am Yisrael to search for the wisdom of the ages, to find the moral path so they can ensure social serenity, but they refuse. V'sha'alu l'intivot olam, eize derech hatov, u'lechuva, u'matz'u margoa l'nafshechem, v'yomru lo nelech. When the lookouts warned again and again of impending danger, they refused to listen. As he describes, V'hakimoti alechem tzofim, hakshivu lekol shofar, v'yomru lo nakshiv. Instead, Judeans offered meaningless sacrifices and empty lip service to hedge their bets and appease Hashem's anger. Therefore, in closing this chapter, Hashem decrees that a merciless invader is coming from the north, well armed and intent on ruthless battle. Yirmiyahu is shaken by Hashem's wrath and is terrified by the imminent atrocities as he cries out in sympathy, Shamanu et shom'o, rafu yadeinu, tzara hechzektanu, chil kayoleda. Al titzu asade, uvaderech al telechu, ki cherev laoyev magor misaviv. We've heard of the invader's reputation. Our hands hang limp. Anguish has gripped us, pangs like a woman in labor. Don't go out in the field or walk on the road, for the enemy's sword and terror abound. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.